a group, and all God's people said, amen. We appreciate you singing for us this morning. I do not have the lapel on this morning, so we will just use this, okay? So he's got us connected. Good to have you here today. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 once again, and we will spend some time. As you note in the bulletin, there is an insert that gives you the outline on some of the notes of the last two Sundays, so that'll help you a little bit, and we will continue on as we preach in Ephesians chapter 6 this week, Lord willing, and next week. I'm going to begin reading in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll pray, and then we'll have an introduction, and we'll pick up where we left off. And here's what he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Father, I do thank thee so much for your word. And Lord, we do thank thee so much for the privilege to preach and teach. And Lord, as we concentrate upon this passage this morning, Lord, may our hearts be open and may we allow you to teach us. And Lord, may we not only be taught, but may we be challenged. And Lord, may we allow you to change us so you can use us to glorify yourself. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you noted, the book of Ephesians, we gave you a little bit of a background, and I will do that again because it helps you put it into context, this passage on our spiritual warfare. As you note, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul lays out a tremendous amount of doctrine. In the first three chapters, you'll find at least 25 blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. And you know it, it's very doctrinal, and it is very, it's wonderful to study and to preach through and to look at. But that lays the foundation then of the practical section, which is chapter, as you follow on, chapter 4 through the end of the book. In chapter 4, you know right away, he talks about a walk, or how we are to live based upon our doctrinal teaching. Since we have all these blessings in Christ, we're to walk worthy of the precious name of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's very broad. We're also to walk in unity. We're to walk in service. We're to walk in holiness. And we're to walk in love. And we're to walk in light. And walk in wisdom. And walk in the Spirit. That, you'll note, is basically takes us through chapter 5. But then when we get to chapter 6, he talks about our spiritual armor. If we're going to live this way, if we're going to walk a life that's going to walk worthy of Jesus Christ and walk the way we ought to, or live the way we ought to daily, we're going to have to put on some spiritual armor because you're in a real battle. If you strive to live for Jesus Christ, to bring glory and honor to his name, you're going to face opposition. And as you note, the opposition basically comes from three directions. One is our flesh fights against us. In case you haven't figured that out as a Christian, you soon will, because it is a battle. Our flesh does not want to obey God. Our flesh rebels against it. And that's why we got to walk in the Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit so we don't walk in the flesh. The world also does not applaud us doing right or living right or walking worthy of the name of Jesus Christ. So the world is going to oppose us. But in this passage, he really zeroes in on who our real enemy is. Behind it all is Satan himself. Satan is our arch enemy. He's the arch enemy of God, and he will do all to hurt and to hamper and to hinder us going forward spiritually. Because if he can hinder us from prosperity spiritually, he really gets at God himself. Because if we are such that we do not walk worthy of Jesus Christ, and we hurt the cause or hinder the cause of Christ, we hurt God himself. Instead of bringing glory to his name, instead of having an impact upon society and being involved in his cause, guess what? We're not. And so Satan wins. And so we need to be very, very careful for us as Christians to strive to live a life that's going to bring glory and honor to him. And if we do so, if we're going to bring our glory to him, we have to understand the battle. Well, as you note, as you pick up in verse 10, you'll note he brings out our preparation. The only way we can win is we have to be strong in the Lord. That's where we start. You and I cannot win over Satan and the wiles of the devil and the demons that he uses. We cannot win in our own strength. We have to be strong in the Lord. You have to spend time in God's word. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time yielding to the Holy Spirit's control and listening to him. You have to walk with the Lord. You have to find your strength in him, because without him, you can accomplish nothing. Then we also brought out our provision is God has provided for us, given us a prescription, the armor of God. And you'll note we need to, as Christians, we need to realize we have to put it all on, not just some. And we've been going through them piece by piece. Our purpose is to stand. The problem is that the devil is very sharp. It says the wiles of the devil, that's the tricks, that's the methods that he uses to get us to stumble and to get us to fall, because our priority is, as a believer, to do all we can to stand for Jesus Christ. And so that brings us to where we were last week, putting the armor on. First of all, we need to have our loins girded about with truth. And as we brought out, the tunic that the soldier would wear was loose, but when he went to battle, there was a leather belt that he would use to tighten that down so he could move easily and so he could fight. Usually it did not have sleeves in it. They were cut out so he could move, but this belt would hold the garment together. Your loins girt about with truth, and that leather belt would also use to hold the sword often. Now, what does that mean? We have to have a truthful life. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And we as Christians need to make sure that when he accuses us before God, that those accusations are lies. We need to have a life that lives the truth, that is actually guided daily by truth of God's word, and to make sure that we represent Jesus Christ, who is truth. And that means we have to be honest, upright, a person of integrity. We have to have a truthful life. We also have to have a righteous life. It says this, that we are to have are on the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate that would cover the vitals was often made out of metal, and it was often forged to fit that particular soldier. That would protect them from the darts and the spears and also the sword itself, and that would cover the vital areas. And one of the things that we need to realize as a Christian, if I am going to stand against Satan and if I am going to be used to have an impact upon this world for Jesus Christ, I have to have a life that is right with God, first of all, and right with other people. My testimony is important. What people see is extremely valuable. And I have to be on the right side living this truth, not only being truthful, but living a righteous life, living according to the truth of God's word. Now, let me ask you this question. Does that represent you? I hope so, because Satan's a liar, and he is going to make accusations, but I hope and pray that those accusations are really lies and not truth. I think there's a third one that we brought out last week is also we need a secure life. The feet had to be shod. They had to have the right kind of a footing and the right kind of footwear. Shod with the gospel of peace. If you are not sure you're saved, you are not going to win in this battle. You have to be secure in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're truly saved, you are secure. But you not only have to know you're saved and be saved, but you have to know you're saved. Because Satan lies and he brings doubt and he tries to keep you from victory. And if you do not have that settled in your heart and life and you're secure in Jesus Christ, you're not going to win. You're not going to fight well. You're not going to represent Jesus Christ properly. So that brings us to the number four, and that is this morning, I need also a trusting life. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, you note the shield. There's basically two different types of shields that the soldier would use. One was a small shield that often was round, and it was about 2 feet by 2 feet. It was often made of lightweight material, but yet it would be sometimes covered with some type of metal. But that would be used and strapped on the arm, and so he could use that and maneuver with that very easily, and it would often be used to stop the blows of a person who was swinging a sword. The other one was a large one. The large one was approximately 4.5 feet by 2.5 feet, so it would actually be used in the front of the battle. And so as they approached a city, it would be able to absorb the swords that were thrown and these fiery darts that were shot, which were arrows that they would often dip and pitch, and they would be absorbed by these, we would say, large shields that the soldier could actually hide behind, and so they would progress forward behind them. They would be made out of leather, often would be with wood, they would be often soaked in some type of water or liquid, so when the fiery darts were shot, they would go out. They would not catch fire on that particular, and this was used on that particular shield. So those are the two types of shields that were used. But it says this, the shield of faith. Now you say, what's faith? Well, faith is trust. Faith is believing what God said is true. Faith is the very substance of the Christian life. We are to walk by faith. That's how we are to walk. We're to rest in God's care, and we're to trust what God says. When he says he's present, he is. His provision is there. His promises are true. His protection is there. His purpose is real, and he has a plan for us. We have to believe what God says and trust in it. We hold this shield of faith, and with the shield of faith, we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And Satan constantly throws darts of doubt. He did that in the Garden of Eden, and we brought that out last week, some of the ways that Satan works, and we have that in your bulletin. But one of the ways is to bring doubt upon God's character and God's word. And so, as he did to Eve, did God really say? He puts a question mark out there. Is God going to really take care of you? Is that really what the Bible says? Is that really for you? And on, he will cause doubt. And so, through faith, we are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The basic foundation of all sin really comes from a disbelief in God. When we do not believe God, we fall into sin. And whatsoever not of faith, according to Romans chapter 14, 23, is what? It is sin. And so I need to realize, how do I quench these doubts that Satan sends my way? I quench them with the small sword and the large, shield and the large shield. They absorb those darts when I walk by faith, when I just trust God. See, often we see the circumstances, or we see people, or we see situations, and the situations just seem insurmountable. They're too big. Well, there's nothing too big for God. And the question is, did God lead you? If he led you, he will take care of this. He's that big. He's that powerful. And we are to walk by faith. We are to trust his provision. He's always taken care of us. He's always protected us. He's always been with us. And he's always been there meeting our needs and fulfilling his purpose and his plan. But Satan lies and distorts and tries to get us to question God's word. And when we doubt God and don't believe God, we fall into sin and Satan wins. Now, some verses that help us just a little bit in quenching the fiery darts of the wicked. One is Psalm 18, verse 30 says this, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." And see, there's someone you can always trust in. This morning, we, in Sunday school, the attribute of God was faithfulness. Has God ever let you down? No, he can't, because he's God. He's always faithful. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it is interesting when the Lord comes back on a white horse. What is his name? Faithful and true. See, that's all you need to know. He's faithful and he's true, and you can trust him. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." Do you trust him? 1 John 5, verse 4 says, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." See, that's the way to victory, is by trusting God. That's how we quench the doubts and the darts of Satan. I'd like you to notice the next one is this is also an expectant life. Not only do we have a truthful life, a righteous life, a secure life, a trusting life, but also an expectant life. Look with me at verse 17. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, what is the helmet of salvation? The helmet often was made out of some type of leather, and then it would be overlaid often with some type of molded metal that would go over top of that leather, and often they would have a face guard that would come down over the cheekbone. That was really used to thwart or to be able to handle a sword that was swung in battle. When a hand-to-hand combat, they swing the sword and it hits you in the head. That particular helmet was put on to protect the head area. You say, the helmet of salvation. Well, what is the helmet of salvation? Well, they would put this on at the last. Well, just as you're going into battle, they would put that on because they're getting ready. They are getting ready to face their foe head on, literally. And they would put this helmet on, and it says salvation. What is that? Deliverance. Salvation means deliverance by its very name. It is an expectant life. We as Christians can enter the battle against Satan knowing that he's a defeated foe. And through Christ, I've been given all the resources I need to win the battle. So I can expect to be victorious. I can expect to win. I do not have to succumb. I do not have to succumb to the world or the flesh or the devil. I am on the victory side. Satan is already a defeated foe. Even though he's very active, I can be victorious because through Christ, I have all the resources I need to win. You say, well, Pastor, I've been struggling with this in my life and I cannot get victory. You're right on the last phrase. You can't get victory. But through Christ, you can. You can get victory over that particular problem or that particular sin in your life. There's no sin that is too big for God. And you and I need to realize that we are victorious already because Christ won the victory when he died on the cross of Calvary and rose again. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he was given us the victory. And I have a victory. You say, well, I'm battling every day. Well, you're on the right side. And someday you're going to be in the right place. You'll be at home. You'll be in heaven. We are delivered from the very power of sin in our life as we walk with God and yield to the Holy Spirit and we fight the battle putting on our armor. And through Christ, we can have victory. And of course, there's three different types of deliverance. I'm delivered from the penalty of sin. That's past. When I accepted Christ, I was delivered from the penalty of sin. I'm on my way to heaven. But I'm also being delivered right now from the power of sin as I yield to the Holy Spirit, and as I walk with God and allow Him to work in me and through me, I'm getting the victory now. And as I grow in Christ, I get more victories. But one of these days, I will be delivered from the very presence. And so I'm on the right side, and so are you. You will someday ultimately be in heaven, totally victorious, no more to fight Satan again. But you say, well, Pastor, it's really I'm really struggling. Well, I want you to get off the couch and start fighting the battle and realizing there is not an excuse for your sin. Who are you going to blame? Yourself? You say, well, it's Satan. And I think Flip Wilson years ago, and maybe you don't, most of you don't know Flip Wilson, but he used to have a show on TV. He was a comedian. And often he would say, the devil made me do it. The devil did not make you do it. He enticed you to do it, but you and I make choices. You either chose to do it or you chose not to do it. You chose to yield or you chose the way of victory. You chose to walk in the flesh or you chose to walk in the spirit. It was your choice. You chose. And we need to face the battle and realize we're on the right team. Through Christ, we've already been given the victory. The helmet of deliverance. I want you to notice the last one, and the last part of the armor is this, is a saturated life, saturated with the Word of God. And look with me at what he says. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This, as you note, is the offensive and defensive weapon that was used. The sword was usually about 18 inches long. That was pretty much the normal length of the sword. Sometimes they used also a dagger too, but the sword itself was about 18 inches long. It was used by the foot soldiers, and it was usually used in hand-to-hand combat. They would swing this particular item. The Spirit, as you know, referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as you know, is what empowers us as believers to live the Christian life. I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world, John says. So I have someone who dwells within me who is more powerful than Satan who's in the world. That's who he's referring to. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have someone in me, the Holy Spirit, who is more powerful than Satan himself. Now, what does the Holy Spirit use? He uses the Word of God. It is the Word of God that's quick, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so we are to take our sword, which is the Word of God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are to swing it. It is offensive and defensive. The Word of God has tremendous power. God is its author, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 1. It is infallible, according to Psalm 19. And of course, we also refer Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is also complete, according to Revelation chapter 22. It's complete. It's finished. You have all of God's word. There's not new. For America, we have the word of God completed. It's also effective. It will not return unto him void, Isaiah says, Isaiah 55, verse 11. It also determines, it's determinative concerning our future, because we will be judged according to John chapter 8. We will be judged according to the Word of God in verse 47. It is also limitless. It's limitless in telling us what we need to know. You'll never exhaust it. You'll never get to the end of it. You can read through it and you will have missed and you go back and then you, that one, the Lord will speak to you through that particular passage and it never stops. It is a source of happiness, Psalm 1. It's a source of growth, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere miracle of the word that they may grow thereby. It's also how we're guided according to Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, verse 105. It's also bring comfort according to Romans chapter 15. It's the Word of God brings comfort to us. It's a source of our victory. That's how we become like Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's also the source of power. See, the Word of God that you've been given and that you have in your hand is extremely effective. It is what was used to defeat Satan, and it's what we use to defeat Satan in John chapter 4, or Matthew chapter 4. The Word of God is also offensive and it's defensive. You not only use the Word of God for offense, but you use it for defense. And it is quick, and it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing joints and marrow and soul and spirit. It is effective. The Word of God has unlimited power. It brings faith in people because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's what we preach. It's what Satan tries to take away, according to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 19, tries to snatch the word away. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. And you say, Pastor, I'm in a battle against Satan. What do I need to do? Well, be a life that's living and seeking to live according to the truth of God's Word. Be a man and woman of integrity. Live a righteous life that's right with God and right with others. Live a life that's secure in Him, just knowing who you believe and persuaded that He's able to keep that which you've committed unto Him against that day. Trusting life where you have the shield of faith. Satan brings doubt and you say, no, that's not what God says. That's why Scripture, we need to know it. Because we need to use it, the shield of faith. Expectant life, knowing that we are on the right team and He'll give us victory if we'll walk with Him, and a saturated life, saturated with the Word of God, so I can always swing it. One of the things that sometimes we forget to realize how important it is to hide God's Word in your heart. Why do we hide God's Word in our heart? That we might not what? Sin against Him. And see, how do we swing the sword? We quote Scripture. And that's why we need to know the Word and be saturated with the Word. We need to take not only the helmet of salvation, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we need to swing it, because through the Word of God, we're able to get victory. Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 was tempted by Satan. Satan came the three different times, and he twisted God's word, and Jesus Christ rebuked him. How did he rebuke him? By quoting Scripture. And that's how we need to swing the sword, because we need to get victory. You say, Pastor, why is victory so important? Why is victory so important? Well, it's absolutely necessary for us to be more like Christ. We have to get the victory. For us to have an impact upon this area, and we're aiming toward Bible school, we need to be right with God. We need to be vessels that God can use. We need to be ones who are living the Christian life and victorious, so God can use us. And for us to have an impact, we can't be losers. We have to be winners. We have to defeat Him in our life. We must. For the cause of Christ and the souls of men, and for our blessing and our future, we have to swing the sword. Now, let me ask you this question. What area in your life did Satan try to get you this last week? I can think of several areas. And we kind of laughed as we're going through the week. You know, we said, you know, Satan's really working hard. Let me just give you one. We have been trying to get our house on the market, on the computer, to get on Zillow. We put it on Zillow almost 2 weeks ago, okay? They said it takes up to 72 hours to get it on there. Well, it was put on, the facts were put on there, and it kept showing the house was on, but it was sold. Sold? Well, who's going to look at a house that's sold? Okay. Well, finally, as of yesterday afternoon, we got a call that they got it corrected. That's almost 2 weeks. Now, why? Well, I can think of a lot of reasons Satan was working. Because the more we have that monstrosity to take care of, we can't move on with life. You say, that's just a little thing. And I mentioned in Sunday school, the banking deal. You know, I just started laughing. I have a Daryl Moeller in Alaska that's got my money. You say, what on earth are the chances of that one? Well, that was a small thing, and really in the scope of life, we kind of laughed about it. We said, what are the chances I found my other brother, Daryl? Pretty slim, but I did. And you can tell me where Satan attacked you. It could be the same old sin. It could be some personal battle that you are having with, and you doubt God. You don't trust him. And you give in. And you go back to the same old vice. See, you don't have to. God has promised, if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit, and he's greater than Satan. And if you yield to the Holy Spirit's control and walk with God and swing the sword, God promises to give you victory. Now, are you going to cave this week, or are you going to be victorious? And see, that's why we need to look at things from a real biblical perspective. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those things that are happening to stop you are from Satan. You say, no, it's really my such and such relative. No, it's from Satan. And you need to have that perspective. This is really the battle. Oh yeah, I have my flesh, I have my enemies, but behind it all is really Satan. And I need to get the victory, because when I lose, I hurt the cause of Christ. When I win, when I'm victorious, I am enhancing the cause of Christ and showing the wonder and the glory of God. And see, we need to be victorious. And I hope you will be this week. Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I want you to think just a little bit about this past week. Where did you falter? Where did you trip up? Where did you get your focus on the wrong enemy? Now my question is, where you sinned, will you confess it and ask God to forgive you? And will you incorporate putting on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand? You need a righteous life. You need a truthful life. You need a secure life. But you also need a life that's one that walks by faith. One who uses scripture. And one that looks forward to victory. Now my question is this. Will you be victorious this week? You can be. How much Pastor Moeller, Lord, has spoken to me this morning? You said, Pastor, I haven't been putting on the whole armor of God like I ought to, and I know at least one area of my life where I'm really failing, and Satan is getting the victory. And you said, Pastor, I want that to change. I'm going to ask God to forgive me, and I'm going to make a commitment this week. I'm going to do all to stand. Will you raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Doing all to stand doesn't mean you set by. It means you swing the sword. Our Father, do thank thee so much for your love. We thank thee for your work in our lives. And Lord, we thank thee so much for the privilege to know you. And Lord, help us to realize that through you we already have the victory. But Lord, help us also to realize as we fight a defeated foe, and his enemies, his emissaries that work with him. Lord, we ask you to help us to realize that we can have victory on a daily basis, and Lord, help us to walk with you. And Lord, help us be vessels that you can do a wonderful work through. And Lord, do a work in our heart that you might do a work through us. Lord, to just glorify your name, that you will be lifted up and exalted through us. Lord, that our life might count. And Lord, that souls might get saved and lives might get changed because you've done a work in us and through us. Give us a great day. Bless the plaza service. Lord, work in hearts. And Lord, tonight, as Ben preaches and gives an update, and Emily, Lord, use them to touch us. And Lord, help us to realize that you want to use us also. Give us a great day in thy name. Amen. Phil, I ask you to come.